You got your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This is a very familiar passage. And the writer says, wherefore, that means because of, is referring back to chapter 11. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the glory that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I am my father's son, and my dad was not a patient man. And he despised anything that hindered him from getting done what he wanted to get done. Ginger can attest to that fact. Many times, I was the hindrance. Not a good place to be. Nobody likes to be hindered, do you? When you want to get something done, you want to get something done. We've all spent time on the highways going from point A to point B, and most of the time, we're in a hurry to get there. I was preaching at a revival a few months ago, and the pastor called me. He said, "How are you going to my church?" And I told him. He said, "Won't you just come by the house and ride with me?" I said, "Deal." I'm sitting in the front seat. He's running about 100 miles an hour down I-40, and I'm gripping the seat like he did. He was, I think we hindered him by getting there a little late, and he wanted to get to church early. I needed revival by the time I got there. I did. I don't think any of us like to be hindered. When we start out on a trip, no matter if it's Clayton to Raleigh or some multi-hour trip that's going to take us out of state, we want to get there as soon as possible. When we get ready to go somewhere on vacation, I normally look at how long it's going to take me to get there. And so I tell Ginger, "I want to let's leave by this time." And we normally do. But you know what? A wreck, a detour, a road closure, anything of those can add minutes or hours to our trip. And if you're like me, they frustrate you, they anger you. Some of those hindrances are a result of things we did ourselves. I remember one time we were going to Maggie Valley on vacation. And instead of leaving earlier, I just told Ginger, "Let's leave when I get off work. 5 o'clock, traffic. On Labor Day." I left at 5 o'clock, and I think we got to Maggie Valley after 1 a.m. 1 a.m. And I was just in a tizzy. But some of these hindrances, like an accident, a detour, road closure, are beyond our control, and we simply have to deal with it. Knowing all the while that we'll eventually get to where we're going, it's just going to take a little longer and a lot more patience. Now, from a spiritual perspective, all of us here this morning listening in, we're on a road. We're on a journey. And there are only two roads we can be on. One road leads to heaven, and the other road leads to hell. And we're on one or the other of those this morning. Of our own choice. Both of those roads are not without their pitfalls and their hindrances. But the road you want to be on is the one that leads to heaven. The destination will be worth everything that we've faced along the way. If we don't get discouraged, if we don't turn around, if we don't give up. Today we're going to look at some hindrances along the spiritual highway to heaven. And hopefully learn a little better how to deal with them. And one of the hindrances is attraction to this world. The world that God gave us to live in is without a doubt a far cry from the Garden of Eden. Wasn't meant to be this way. But with all of the evil in the world today, there's still a lot of good about this life that God gave us to enjoy. The problems arise when we place this temporal life above the eternal life that God has promised. As an example, you'll find in Genesis chapter 19, Lot's wife. God delivered Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah, which God was destroying because of the evil that was going on there. And he told them to leave and not look back. And as the fire and the brimstone was falling and consuming that city, instead of all of them keeping their eyes faced forward, Lot's wife just had to turn back and take one more look at what was left of Sodom. And the scripture says that she turned into a pillar of salt. All because the attraction of this world that she was living in was stronger than her faith in God. Think about this. God was in the middle of miraculously saving her and her entire family from this destruction. And she was still clinging to the roots of her past, not willing to let it go and trust God. And in the end, it cost her her life. When we try to serve God looking back at the sin that we were in, while we're trying to hold on to both worlds, we'll never make any progress with God. As long as we're holding on to the pieces of our old life of sin, we can't fully put our trust in God. This world holds an attraction for some people that they just cannot give up. And Jesus plainly told us, his disciples and everybody, he said, you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to cleave to one and despise the other, but you can't have it both ways. It doesn't get us anything but lost if we gain this whole world and lose our soul. No matter what attraction this world holds for us or what it has to offer, it cannot offer forgiveness from our sins. It can't offer salvation, promise of eternal life in heaven. Don't let the attraction of this world hinder you on the road to heaven. Another hindrance is trying to use what we don't need to fight Satan. Remember little David? David heard that Goliath had been coming out and saying all kinds of bad things against God. David's wondering, why doesn't somebody go out there and take him down? Nobody else is going to do it. I'm going to do it. David's just a tiny little boy. Saul finally says, well, if you're bound and determined to do it, put on this armor. David put it on. Can't you almost see it? It swallowed him. It was clunky. David finally laid it aside. And essentially, to paraphrase what he said, I'm not going to use this because it's not proven. I'm going to go in the Spirit of God because He's fought my battles before. He's proven. A lot of times we feel like we have to fight Satan with things of this world. When Jesus was tempted of Satan, what did He fight him with? The Word. Scripture. You know what happened with David? David went out there and he took down Goliath. You know why? Because David knew something Saul didn't. David knew that the battle was the Lord's. If we try to come against Satan with anything other than God at our back, we will fail. He's too powerful. He's too smart. He's too cunning. We don't need anything other than what the Bible calls the whole armor of God to defeat the devil. Truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the Word of God. Don't get hindered on this road to heaven by trying to use anything other than the weapons given to us by God to defeat Satan. We don't need anything else. We have it all at our disposal. Trying to use anything else that is not proven will only result in hindrance and defeat. Unbelief in Christ is another hindrance. And I know you're probably thinking, well, yeah, certainly someone that doesn't believe in Christ is getting hindered on their way to heaven. That's obvious. But it's more than that. In the Bible, Jesus was from Nazareth. He was the Messiah, God's Son. Born there, raised there. And the people just looked at him and said, isn't that Mary's, Joseph's boy? He's just a carpenter. He's not really the Messiah. Couldn't be. Couldn't be. Got one of my growing up buddies in the back here today, Mark, and I love him to death. Mark and I've got history. We've got about 60 years worth of history. Don't talk to him about me as you leave. Will you do me that? And I'll bet you if you'd ask him this morning, did you ever think Roger would be a pastor? He'd shake his head, ain't no way. If you were to ask me, did you ever think Mark would come to my church and attend service? And my answer would be probably not. But yet, look where we are today. And brother, I love it. I know you do too. You see, unbelief in Christ can hinder our Christian walk. As a matter of fact, Scripture says that because of the unbelief in Nazareth, Jesus didn't do many miracles there. What did they miss out on? It doesn't matter if you've been a born-again Christian for a day or 100 years. There are times when we doubt. We doubt that the Lord is real. You don't have to admit it to me. Admit it to yourself. We doubt. It seems like Satan kind of comes in when we least expect it. We've experienced the power when He saved us from His sins. We've seen His handiwork in nature. We've seen other lives change. We've seen the sick made well. We know these things. But occasionally we face a problem, a trial, a decision, and we begin to doubt. We begin to doubt. We forget that He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. By the way, that means in the good times and the bad. If Jesus held back miracles in the lives of the people of Nazareth because of their unbelief, don't you think the same could be true of our lives? Unbelief hinders us on the road to heaven because it robs us of the joy and abundant life that Jesus has promised to all that follow Him. The next time you face a trial, believe, truly believe that Jesus can handle whatever problem you have. Don't be hindered because of an unbelieving spirit. Worldly possessions can also hinder us. You and I don't have one thing we can take to heaven when we die. My grandpa, my Papa Hill, he loved his car. And I remember my Mama Hill looking at him and pointing her finger and saying, I'm going to bury you in that thing. I was a little boy. I still remember that. The thing I remembered was, I want to see Jim McLaurin dig a hole that big. There's nothing that we have that is worth missing heaven over. Nothing. Nothing. In today's world that we live in, people put material possessions above spiritual matters. Ambition is fine. It's admirable. It's a good quality. Until what it brings becomes our God. And we would put anything above the Lord Jesus Christ, it's wrong. Early in Scripture, the Lord said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's not pretentious. That's a fact. That's a fact. We're even told a story in the New Testament about a young man that came to Jesus and he said, I've kept all the law from my youth up. What else do I need? Jesus said, go sell all your possessions to the poor, give to the poor, and come and follow me. The Bible says he walked away because he had many possessions. Does that mean we're supposed to give up everything we have to the poor, to follow Jesus? I don't think so. We still got responsibilities. But if it is becoming and God to us, if it comes between us and God, we need to get rid of it. And I don't care what that is. We can't have anything above our relationship with Christ. Don't let worldly possessions hinder you on the road to heaven. There's nothing we have here that can compare to what's waiting for us. Keep that in mind. Family ties can also be a hindrance on our spiritual walk. I love my family more than anything in this world, and you're part of it. I've got my wife, I've got my child, I've got my grandkids, I've got you. Y'all are my family. And I love you dearly. I would do anything for you. But you can't be above my relationship with Christ. If I put you or Ginger or my grandkids or my son above my relationship with Christ, I can't have the relationship with them that I'm supposed to have. He's got to come first. People in the Bible, Jesus said, "Follow me." And one said, "Let me go bury my father." One said, "Let me go tell everybody bye, and then I'll be right back." Jesus used a phrase that Mr. Bunk Cole used to use all the time. Said, "Nobody putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." What does Jesus want from us? He wants our total dedication, not a half-hearted commitment. We can't pick and choose between Jesus' commandments and follow them selectively. We must count the cost and be willing to abandon everything else that gives us security, even if that is family, without looking back. Don't let family, close friends, or anyone else keep you from following the Lord Jesus Christ. Our scripture this morning, if you look back in Hebrews chapter 11, is the faith chapter of the Bible. And then our scripture for today says, because we've got all these witnesses that experienced hindrances, by the way, showing what faith in Christ can do, let us push forward. Let us continue to have faith. Let us continue to use whatever hindrances come against us for our betterment. I would imagine everybody here listening in, you got hindrances that are in your life right now. I got a decision that I'm facing. And just this weekend, it seems like there's been one hindrance after another. And I've gotten mad. I've gotten upset. And then I've got reminded God's still in it. So the close that I had to my sermon this morning, something totally different. But Ms. Helen mentioned about eagles in our Sunday school class. So let me end this with this to you today, because I know you've got hindrances. Use them for your advantage. There was a Christian recording artist. He was in Georgia getting ready for a concert one night. They were going to record it live for a new CD he was going to put out. The recording truck pulled up and everything went wrong. They finally informed him. They said, we're not going to be able to record it tonight. He said, I was upset. Said, I told him I need to get away for a while. He said, I went to the truck. He was in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Drove down to a state park. He said, I was walking down to the river. He said, I noticed an eagle flying. He said, and I thought, you know what? My daughter loves eagles. He said, and I love photography. He said, I keep a camera in my truck with a telephoto lens. He said, I'm going to go back and get that and take a picture of that eagle for her. He said, on my way back to the truck, about a quarter of a mile, he said, I could feel a cool wind start to blow in. And the wind picked up. And it was one of those storms that just kind of come out of nowhere that was starting to come in. He said, I grabbed my camera. He said, I was almost mad. He was almost shaking my fist against God, saying, my recording is messed up. All I wanted to do was get a picture from my daughter of this eagle, and now you sent this storm, and he's going to break and run. Fly away. I won't even be able to do that. He said, and as I watched that eagle, he said, instead of breaking and flying away, he said, that eagle turned and flew into the storm. And he said, that eagle didn't flap one time. He said, that eagle used the current from the storm to let it lift it higher. He said, I got my picture. He said, I also got whipped. Got spanked. He said, because God was telling me, you got things coming against you right now. Use it to let me take you higher. What hindrances in your life right now? Some of you have got more hindrances than you could list on a pad. I may not understand that, but God does. Some of you are thinking about, you know what? I got so many things coming against me right now, I'm done. Just done. Don't be that way. Take what is coming against you, whatever hindrance is in your way, and let God use it to take you higher. Our scripture this morning says we've already got a cloud of witnesses that, to paraphrase in Johnston County language, been there, done that. Trust me. He's done it in your life before too, I bet. Let him do it again. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we love you this morning. We don't like these hindrances that come our way. Many of them are from our own choosing. Many of them Satan puts there. But Father, your word tells us you can use everything for good. In this time of commitment, Father, let us commit our faith to you. Use these hindrances to take us higher in your love, grace, and mercy. And Father, we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen.